Okay.
Amen. Getting started. Pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Again, you know our hearts. You know what we need to hear. Lord, again, I just admit I don't have anything of eternal value. I can have good opinions, I can have this, I can have that, but they're just earthly. And Lord, unless you take control and lead in what goes on here, this session, this thoughts that come forth, you touch our hearts with those, and your Holy Spirit moves through those, there really is no real value. So I just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do and how you want to speak to each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Continuing in Matthew 5, Lord's continuing to go through, and he's given the Beatitudes, he's given the base of saying, I want to turn your thoughts upside down. I want to tell you that everything that you've been taught, everything that you've been told, is somewhat off the mark. Because it's all external. Now I'll talk to you about the externals in life. And in a lot of ways, the law was an external thing. And in some ways, it was a way that God said, okay, can you live a good enough life to get yourself okay with God? And the answer was no. No one could. Because everybody tried, but they tried in the flesh. And so the Lord said, you can't get this done, so I'm going to have to give you a new heart. Because the one you have is made of stone. And it's of no value. It won't get it done. Do you know where we're supposed to get to heaven? Why we don't get there? Because he says, no one is righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? What does that mean? Yep. Just glory. What does that mean? It's the essence of God. It's who he is. All of you have fallen short of being like God. So he's saying, that's really what it's going to take. So the only one who could really get us to heaven is his son who paid that price and fulfilled the glory of God. And even there, if you notice the word, Jesus said, I had to leave that I might be glorified so that he could take that place for us. Now, what we're going to talk about again tonight is something where it's talking about the heart of an issue. He says, again, we're in verse 33 through 37 of Matthew chapter 5. Again, he says, starts it off, you've heard that the ancients were told. So, this is what the ancients, this is what the older, your fathers were told. All the Jewish men of old, this is what they were told. You shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vow to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's, it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your own head, for you can't even make one hair white or black. Now, they might not have had hair dye, but what he meant is you can't make it really white or really black. You can't change the natural color of your hair. But let your statements be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything else is from the devil, from the evil one. So, the Jews in the Old Testament used to make vows. You go through Ecclesiastes, you go through Deuteronomy, you go through Law, and they would make a vow. Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. Lord, if you... One thing, a vow was never made to another person. Why do you think a vow was never made to another person?
To take a break from promise.
It, because basically it was a promise.
Not holding
to it. Well, a vow usually had something of return. Lord, because of who you are, I'm going to do this. And it was points that the Lord needed, you know, to really, people basically made promises to God, they made vows to God, they made an oath to God. Now, what started happening is they started making oaths to one another. But what they would do is they would say, if I swear by the temple, I don't have to keep my vow. But if I swear by the gold that's in the temple, then I have to keep my vow. If I swear by the gift that's on the altar, I keep my vow. But if I swear by the altar only, I don't. God said, what? So the gold that's in the temple is greater than the temple, which is where God lives. So you put a greater value on something that's of value earthly. You put a value on the altar, which is before the living God. You won't put a value on it, but you will on the gift that's on it, that is by human hands. Now, let's look at some things. What are some things we do today that are similar to that?
Turn on the Bible in court.
Exactly. Somebody says, okay, put your hand in the Bible and you swear. That came from this concept that you were bound by it. It basically says, look, even though we're telling you, and it was part of it was putting the importance, it was saying, look, if you break this law, if you break what you're doing, does it still hold that even though people don't put their hand on the Bible anymore? If people don't swear on the Bible anymore, has it lost its importance in the world's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really, because what they're saying, it has in our eyes as Christians, because they took God out of it. Because what our point was, as Christians, we're saying, hey, you know what? Even if the court never catches you, if you put your hand on the Bible and you swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you swore to God. So, and they even had to say, so help you God.
What?
Right. Now, what they're doing is they're saying, by the hand of man, we will find you guilty of perjury if we catch you. Or if we feel like it. There's a whole lot of them that lie all the time on the sand and nothing ever happens to them. But, what else might people do? What else in that form of lying? There's one that's been taking place recently. A lot of people have checked about.
Wedding vows, but that's not relevant to what you just said before.
What about something really close to home that's been going on?
Teachers
went and they protested and they said we were sick. And they lied. Doctors went and gave them slips that helped them align and added to their life. And these teachers then went back and told students this was okay because it was for a good cause.
You mean their back pocket?
Well, whatever you want to call it. You can fight about the cause, not the cause. I'm talking only about the lying. What's another thing that you hear when people think lying is okay? What do they call it? Why do you think it's called white?
Why is it supposed to be pure?
Uh-huh. It's not hurting anybody. It's not a black lie. It's not a dark lie. It's not a lie that will get me to hell. Here's a good one for you. How does God separate liars and murderers?
He doesn't.
He doesn't. Not only that, you know what he even counts as bad as liars? Gossips. Yeah, because a gossip says, I'm going to go talk about other people because I heard this person tell me something. I don't know it to be true. Do you see how that's still a lie?
Well, you've been able to know it to be true, you shouldn't
talk about it. Right. But it's really lying if it's gossip from a fact that most of the time gossip isn't verifiable. Thus the terminology gossip. But the point being is, you also do it to damage people. Now, my point in here is he's saying, let's look at the heart of the matter. When he said, thou shalt not murder, then he turned around and he said, the main reason you don't, he goes, I'm not going to tell you don't murder, I'm going to tell you don't even allow yourself to get angry. Because you're getting angry because of this issue where they're crossing you. He goes, don't swear. It's not like cuss. Don't say, have you ever heard anybody go, no, seriously, this time I'm telling the truth. Have you ever heard? Okay, no, listen, I swear I'm telling the truth. I swear. They don't have to fill it in and say, I swear by this, I swear by that. But when they say, I swear, I'm telling the truth, they're using this right here. Now, why do people have to do that?
Trying to get people to stop.
And why do people have to do that?
Because
they probably lost it. Because they've probably been guilty of lying about something. When we tell lies in little things,
comes easier to lie in big things.
Oh, you're going to definitely be thinking more that you would lie in the big things. Now, is a lie just flat out saying, this thing happened. Now, is a lie to say, no, it actually didn't happen? Or is it a lie to say, no, it didn't happen the way you think it happened. I'm going to lessen it so that you're not mad at me, so I'm going to say it in another way. Let's say, you know, okay, I scratched the car, but it didn't really, you know, and actually it's because you weren't paying attention and you pulled too tight and you scratched it that way, and instead you said it got scratched, but I parked it in the wrong spot and some yo-yo came by in. So, you admit that it got scratched while it was in your possession, but you change the fact. Still a lie. How about this one? Ever had people go, had my fingers crossed. You know, one of the ones that used to get, and I used to get in trouble with it. And I still do now and then, but a lot less. You ever had people say something about somebody and then they say, I was just kidding? Mm-hmm. It still hurt. It still was wrong. It still was something that shouldn't have happened. And you have to realize what the Lord's saying is, let your yes be yes and your no be no. very simply speaking, you need to let honesty be such a part of your life that people don't question what you say. And if you ever, which people will do, we all are human and will do it. If you lie, and you know you did, you need to go make it right. You need to go own up. That's the only way to get out from under that guilt. Now, let me give you a good example of that, in the sense that if you're totally and completely honest and you mess up, and the person knows you messed up, and you don't say a word, you leave them looking at you and judging, and now everything that comes out of your mouth after that point, they look at and go, who knows if that's the truth? Nothing anymore that comes out of your mouth is credible. That's the sad part. And you know what? That happens in relationships a lot. And then all of a sudden, neither side can believe the other side. And it takes a point of having to go back and break down all those blocks and earn that trust back. And honestly, one of the hardest places where it takes place is, one, even parents keeping promises to their children. Children, you know, if they lie to their parents about something, for a long, long time, every time they tell them something, I'm going here, I'm going to do this, I did this, I didn't do this. Here's a good example. I had a couple of times I went to bat for my oldest son on some stuff at school. I didn't do that, Dad. They're lying. Come to find out, no, he was lying. And I looked stupid. And it got to a point I couldn't stand up for him anymore. I couldn't believe what he told me anymore. Because he lived a lie. His life was a lie. And then, he had to grow out of that. But while he was under my roof, he never did earn that back, because he kept going back to it. It became a habit. Okay? I have others that have too. And it became a point where it was hard to believe anything. And sometimes then I would have to constantly check up on my own to verify, because I couldn't believe. Another good example is, recently I had an employee come back to work, and just in the last two or three days, I've had situations that have taken place where I trusted in a certain thing and it didn't happen. And now I've already had to back way off on some ideas I had and things like that. And it makes you look at a person a certain way. Why did I finally close the door on, I'm not going to say the name, on a recent individual that we had some dealings with an automobile and some other issues? Why did I close the door on the whole thing at work? Because of distortion of the truth. Because turned something that we're trying to do good into a lie too many times. Lied to me about other situations and other situations, and it got to a point it was not worth it. You didn't know what you had. It was self-destructive. That person made themselves of no value in my eyes anymore. I couldn't trust. How then do I trust them to go do a good job? How do I trust them to send them into a person's house? How do I trust any of these things? You can't. So the challenge for each one of you is to make sure that you're not letting that be true in your life. Because once it gets there, it's really hard for you to earn it back. And then you better be the one that goes and says, you know, it goes a long ways if you're the one that goes and admits the fault. Even, like, if you lie here and you own up to it over here. But if you lie here and somebody has to prove you lied, then you go, oh, okay, sorry. That's almost of no value whatsoever. You know, that's just, okay, I admit that you caught me. You probably didn't catch me those other times. You know, I mean, you don't know. So, God's saying, look, and he was talking to Jewish leaders who were playing this kind of stuff with the Lord's name. Because they were in authority. And this was back, of course, when contracts were what?
Your word.
It was a handshake. And what he's saying is, your word is a statement of your worth. Who you are. And he says, are you going to tell the world, I'm a lie? I'm not worth believing. Is that what we're going to tell the world? I mean, it's what we have to look at. It's what we have to say. My life's a lie. And, you know, I know you may listen to this someday, but, you know, I tell you right up front, that's one of the struggles that Travis went through as he was growing up. He wasn't happy with who he was, and he would make up who he was. And he lived behind a facade. I knew there were times, point blank, I knew there were times he told people in La Crosse he had a band in Caledonia and they played a lot of gigs. And I knew he told people in Caledonia he had a band in La Crosse and he played a lot of gigs. But nobody, it never worked out that anybody could go to him. But he didn't have one. He did play for a little while with one, but they never, I mean, he got together and practiced with some, but he wanted that. And there were other ones. But he never realized he was good enough in being who he was. And everybody on the outside thought, wow, he's so cool, he's this, he's this. He struggled with who he was. And I think he's just getting to a point where he's becoming okay with who he is. But I've watched that in a lot of you. And people have to learn to be okay with who I am themselves. And here's the other thing is, the other side I find is that, you know, we're talking a little bit about tonight about people's past and their histories and things like that. And, you know, I've had people go, how in the world can you even be sane after going through all that? And I know they say that to you. And it's like, how can you, after all the junk you've been through, still maintain it all? In some cases, what you have to do is you have to go, you know what? I didn't really like the deck of cards, the hand I was dealt. You draw a new one. You get a hold of yourself and you say, Lord, with the abilities you've given me, I'm going to make more out of my... I'm not staying there. I'm going to make the best I can of whatever I've got. But I'm not staying... And we used to kind of joke about the word, well, I'm not going to stay with the stinking thinking. I'm not going to think rotten thoughts. I'm not going to stay thinking that I'm terrible. I'm not going to think what the world... I'm not going to think that... Even if I put my own self there. And I struggle with that. Lord, I'm not going to think that I'm a liar, that I'm a cheat, that I'm a, you know, an adulterer. that I, you know, went through these divorces. I'm not. That's not who is going to define who I am. I've got to look forward and say, this is who I'm going to be. So because we make mistakes, we don't have to stay there. If we choose to stay there, then don't be surprised. Okay? If we have chosen to lie, if we have chosen to live in deception, don't be surprised when it catches you and bites you right in the butt. I loved the sermon one time I heard about Samson. And it says, sin will find you, and then sin will grind you, and then sin will take your life away. And Samson was living a life of sin with adultery, with, you know, running around with women, and God wanted to use him, and God gave him this great strength, and he'd go out every now and then and be this big hot shot. And then finally Delilah goes, where's your strength? And sin found him. And finally he admitted. And then the Philistines came and cut his hair off, took him away, hooked him up to a grinding thing, and he was grinding away, being a donkey, walking around. Nobody was really noticing his hair was growing back. Then one day he's out there, and he goes, God, let me at least in my death do more than I did with my life. And in the end, he admitted to God he'd blown it. And he pulled the pillars down and he killed more Philistines in his death than he did during his life. But his sin found him. And his sin ground him to nothing. And then his sin took his life. And it'll do that to you. It will destroy you. If you choose to live that kind of life, it will find you. You won't hide from you. Because remember a saying that I've said before. If you live that kind of life, if you live, it doesn't matter, whoever you are, whoever you're going to live your life to be, wherever you go,
there you are.
There you are. Do you see that? Right? So you better be somebody you don't mind being with. You know who you are. You and God always know when you lie. You may get away with it, but you and God always know. And you're that person. And wherever you go, you're still that person. And you know you're lying. You know that your word can't be trusted. Now, pretty soon, if you're out trying to be a sport, what if you go into sales? In sales, you want people to trust you. You want people to believe in you. But you know, you really can't even believe in you. And pretty soon, that's why people don't really like used car salesmen and insurance agents and some other people like that. Lawyers. Because they'll say whatever they need to get the sale, to win the case, to do whatever. And people go, no. Ooh. Exes, yeah. Well, that's one thing that you will find is divorce usually brings out the true nature in somebody's life. You know, you'll find people, and that's why if you have two people and it just didn't work out and it's really a bad deal. But I've seen people who actually could come through divorces and come out okay. And usually that's because they were two pretty decent people. And they're not out to destroy anybody, buy anything, and they're not out for the greed. And actually, it can work out okay. And it shows who they really were. Most of the time, it also shows the selfishness, the evil, the self-centeredness. Because it is very, very revealing. Stressful things in life usually are. So, again, God says, don't go around saying, I gotta swear by this. Really, no, really, I mean it this time. Don't do that. Be somebody that people can trust. Also, another one that is kind of unsaid here is let your yes be yes and your no be no. Sometimes people don't have the guts to say no. I've fought with that for years. Why do you think people wouldn't have the guts to say no?
They want to upset people.
Yeah, they want to be a people pleaser. And we're going to get into that later. But sometimes people are, they're always yes. because they don't want to hurt anybody. They don't want confrontation. Sometimes no is the right answer. Okay? You don't say yes just because your friends say yes. Sometimes no is it. Be who you are. Be strong in who you are. And let your yes be yes. But when your no needs to be no, let it be no. So, any questions? Discussions? Ideas? No? Well, let your no be no then. Okay. Okay. Yes, no. All right. Father, thank you for this time. Just ask your blessing upon the rest of this evening. And Lord, if there's some way that you can use what we studied tonight, what we learned tonight, in any of our lives, I just pray that your Spirit would do that. You would just help us. Help us see ourselves for who we are. And if that has to change, it has to change. And I pray that your Spirit would do that in us. In Jesus' name.